Hello, this is Michelle McGrath, Executive Director of the United States Association of Cider Makers, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 158. Hello, and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Aria Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. This week, we're chatting with Michelle McGrath, the Executive Director of the United States Association of Cider Makers, and we'll be talking about the upcoming CiderCon taking place the first week of February 2019. What's CiderCon and why should you go? Well, we're going to get to that and a bit more, but first, a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville. When this podcast goes live on December 12th, I will actually be in Monterey Bay, California, and that is south of San Francisco, north of Big Sur. It is an area where my family lives, and I am, ferrying my mama to my brother's for the winter, and she lives half the year with myself and half the year with him. And it's kind of a big journey because I have one of those moms who had her babies much later in life. Never knew that when I was a kid. So all you folks who are having babies much later in life, it was awesome. I had the best experience as a kid. I really did. I didn't realize probably until, I don't know when, that mama was much like 20 years older than everybody else's mama. So there you go. But regardless of that, we're going to be doing that transport. And as such, I am taking advantage of meeting up with some friends and cider makers in that area of Santa Cruz County. There is a cool collection of people. And of course, being kind of bi-coastal, meaning I'm both on the East Coast and the West Coast, I just feel like, oh, whenever I go there, I just like drop down, smell the eucalyptus, drop down to the ocean, hang out, play some tunes with my cousin, sing our hearts out, and drink cider. So on the day before this podcast goes live, on the 11th, I'm going to be meeting up with Natalie and Nicole, the sisters behind Santa Cruz Cider Company, and there's also their family too. I'm going to get to meet them. Robbie Honda of Tanuki Cider Company. Also, Katie Ryder of Ryder Ranch Cider. They're based up on like the hill between San Jose and Santa Cruz. And then for the first time, I'm going to meet Laura Everett of SoCal Cider. All in this like small area of California where you think like, really, there's apples there on the coast? Well, there are many, many coastal cideries, something that I've certainly learned on this journey with Cider Chat. And what I'm finding out about California, specifically this region, is it has just an amazing terrain for growing apples. And it's called dry farming for the apple orchards. And of course, because of that, I'm also going to be seeing Jake Mann of 5 Mile Orchard. He is a part of a multi-generational orchardist family. And Jake and, let's see, Nicole and Robbie and Katie, they were all on the podcast. So I'm going to be putting links onto their shows. You could certainly listen to that. We're going to be meeting up for a cider dinner, hanging out, chit-chatting. I might be recording parts of that. You certainly will see some photos up there. So if you want to catch up with all that, maybe you might want to follow on Instagram. The handle is at Cider Chat, Ciderville, or on Twitter at Cider Chat. And we're looking at chit-chatting. I'm looking at setting up a cider tour to that area because it's just phenomenal. I mean, you got to get in the groove. Doing a totally cider tour with me, it's a little bit different than just like slamming back ciders all day because that's honestly, it's not that much fun just cranking it back. To really understand cider, to really drop yourself into the glass, you have to walk in the fields or in this case, the orchards. You got to smell the air and that's like smelling the ocean air. you got to do a little bit of like the Santa Cruz buzz there and get into the scene to appreciate the people behind that, the makers, what they're dealing with in terms of yeast profiles, and to understand the apples that they're using too. So that's what we're looking at, and I am very excited. I'm hoping to launch this for 2019. Fingers crossed, and you will, of course, be some of the first folks to know. On top of that, I'm also meeting another cidery in that area, and I might as well announce it now because the tables have turned in the U.S. We now have the newest, oldest cidery in the U.S. of A., and that would be Martinelli's. Martinelli's is best known for their sparkling cider, and they just launched the 1868, which you could consider like a New World modern cider. I just would call it a modern cider. I think the association uses New World, but I just say modern, in 12-ounce bottles. And I'm going to be sitting down with the current CEO, General Manager, John Martinelli, the day that this podcast is going live. And I am so excited for that opportunity because what a family story. This is a family-owned company for the past 150 years. And 2018 is their 150th year. And it's all in this area of called Watsonville, which is between Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay, or Monterey City to the south. And that area is and was a huge apple-growing region. So we're going to get the scoop on that because Martinelli's, it's everywhere. I mean, you'll find it in gas stations. You'll find it probably if you go into your parents' closet or your closet or tucked into an abandoned building, there will be a bottle of Martinelli's sparkling cider there. That is non-alcoholic. And of course, they stopped making the alcoholic product because of prohibition, but kept the company alive. So I could go on this. It's just really, really cool. And I'm excited for the opportunity. So lots happening out in that area. That's where I will be. And so stay along with those journeys with me if you'd like. It's always nice to have folks from Ciderville hanging out and being able to share some of the good news coming out of different spots out there in Ciderville. When we come back, I'd like to share with you a little bit about a competition that I do think you should know about, and you want to be getting your submissions in now if you are a commercial cider maker and really want to make a splash. The New York Cider Competition is taking place on February 10th. That is spearheaded by Adam Levy, also known as the Alcohol Professor. And he is working with the New York Cider Association and offering a special discount for all members. And you should know, if you are part of another association in the U.S., you could check in with Adam, and he wants to work with other associations and provide the same discount to submit for this competition, because he's new to this game. Last year, it was the beer competition. I was really helping him promote it. And then the word was, if you get enough ciders in, they'll create their own cider competition. And now they did. So now you'll be ending up not with a medal that says the beer competition, but actually a cider medal. The judges are people in the trade buyers. And they're judging by category and price. So pretty interesting. I'm going to put that link in the show notes. You could contact Adam directly, find out what's going on, and there's going to be more that I'll keep on telling you in subsequent weeks about this particular cider competition. But right now, if you are part of an association and you want to get in on the special discount for your members, you want to contact Adam Levy. Go to ciderchat.com, episode 158. This here episode we're talking on right now. Scroll down to the page of the show notes and where it says mentions in this chat, you're going to find the contact info and more info there for this competition happening on February 10th. let's head next to our main conversation with Michelle McGrath, who is the Executive Director of the United States Association of Cider Makers. We're talking Chicago and CiderCon 2019, coming right up on the first week of February. And if you don't know what this event is, well, it is essentially the trade conference for this association. People coming from all over the U.S. and even abroad. There's always a special guest country that comes and that they really highlight that. But that doesn't mean that folks from other countries can't attend either. In fact, there's going to be a number of folks coming from all over the place. And if you haven't heard, Lee Reeve of Insider in Japan, he's going to be there too. So it is quite an event. I will be there, and I was really thrilled to be able to speak with Michelle about some specific pieces here. So we're going to kick right in with talking about her giving you the overview, and I hope the encouragement, why it's so key to arrive early to CiderCon. Let's now head to this main chat with Michelle McGrath. Make sure your cup is full and that you raise a glass to good cheer for people like she who are really helping cider continue to keep going up around the world.
The classic CiderCon experience where you arrive the day of Cider Share and then you jump into a full day of educational programming on Thursday and Friday, then you don't need to get there until Wednesday the 6th. But if you want to participate in some of the extra things we have going on, such as tours, which this year we're doing local Chicago tours, which has never been done. We're doing them especially for folks who need a little extra help understanding how to pair food and cider. And the reason we're doing that is because food and cider and the principles of pairing them are really important to anybody wishing to become a certified cider professional through our program. Part of the tour is there's going to be four stops. We've got Right B Cider, the Northman, Aris Brewery and Cider House, and the Farmhouse, which is a restaurant that serves cider as well. And each one of those stops is going to be demonstrating a food and cider pairing technique. And they're going to be doing that by providing little bites of food that they've purposefully paired with cider using the principles of either cut, contrast, complementary, or complete. Another exciting new extra for CiderCon is we'll be delivering the pilot exam of CCP Level 2 on Wednesday. So if you want to take that test and get your CCP Level 2 certification, and you feel like you needed little help with food and cider, your opportunity is to arrive on Monday so that you can participate in the tour bright and early on Tuesday morning. If you feel like you need a little help with identifying flaws in cider or evaluating cider, we've got Charles McGonigal and Ambrosia Borowski delivering an extended version of their programming called Elements of Cider on Tuesday as well. So those are two of the extra activities that we have going on to help people hopefully earn their CCP Level 2 certification on Wednesday.
Let's let listeners know who aren't necessarily in the cider trade and aren't professional makers or maybe just are cider enthusiasts. And cider enthusiasts are invited to attend CiderCon. Is that correct?
Absolutely. They have to be a home enthusiast member if they want to come and just enjoy the conference. And that membership level is very affordable. It's $75. But if they don't want to become a member, we are still recruiting volunteers for CiderCon. We need lots and lots and lots of them. So They can reach out to picksider@ciderassociation.org to learn more about volunteer opportunities.
Great. We'll make sure to have a link in the show notes to that email so they could get in touch. So backing up here a little bit, so we're talking Monday arrival. That is February 4th. A lot of folks coming in from all over the globe. And to arrive typically at the Chicago O'Hara Airport, it's a little short jaunt to get into the main conference center. And what Michelle's talking about there is really arriving early enough because the bus tour leaves promptly at 9 a.m. in the morning and goes all through the day until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Chicago Central. And some of the locations she's talking about, the Northman is a very well-known cider bar, and I guess they have a new location, two locations now in Chicago. So all these stops along the way are going to be really beneficial, not only just to do the cider food and pairing, but to do the network on the buses, to hang out with the people there who are makers, enthusiasts, people really in the cider vibe, and to celebrate cider with nothing better than to raise a glass and have a little bit of food to really make that cider pop. Speaking of which, Michelle, you being the executive director, do you begin each day with a little mug of cider like John Adams does?
When I'm not pregnant, yes, I do enjoy a breakfast cider occasionally.
Well, that's a wise woman that you are. Hey, speaking of Michelle, I want to let listeners know that she, not only being a top-notch executive director, and really, I really want to compliment you on how far you brought this association forward and all the work that you're doing, both for the conferences, but for the legislative piece. But Michelle was also, if you don't know, one of the top 40 or under 40 on the wine enthusiast list. And that, I think, came out in August. And we're going to have a link in the show notes, and you could just see her, you know, you got the style and style there for posing for a big magazine like that. What was that experience like, by the way?
It was really exciting, mostly because I got to serve cider to some of the top 40 under 40 wine tastemakers in the country during the photo shoot in San Francisco. So I had brought cider for my shoot, and then when I was done taking pictures, I just started pouring samples for everybody, and I was blowing minds. So that was the best part of it for me. Juggling apples was also fun. Thankfully, none of the apples that the photography crew threw in the air hit me in the head. But, you know, being told to smash an apple with a hammer was pretty exciting.
That's great. You know, and that really speaks volumes of what cider's all about and the community. It's all about fun and the joy of life. So speaking of which, on that same piece, a little bit of the joy of life, on that same day, so people coming in, they could do the cider tour, but on that same day, you mentioned the workshop that it's a ticketed event called The Elements of Cider, and that's with Charles, but you also mentioned Ambrosia, who is really a big part of the Northman Cider Bar and Restaurant in Chicago. So the two of them are going to be on that, and I've actually had Charles on the podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes. You could get a little taste of what this presentation would be like.
I love that they've sort of teamed up to educate people about cider. I would not have predicted them as a pair, and yet they work very well. They're both straight shooters, which I think is great, especially when you're talking about cider. It's good not to beat around the bush. But what makes Charles so interesting is that he's a scientist by training, and he's also a very gifted cider maker. And so the combination of those two things really allows you to experience the molecular side of evaluating a cider, which I think is really important. That's how you evaluate wine. So that's how we should be evaluating, and beer, and that's how we should be evaluating cider too.
And Ambrosia is, you know, brings a bit of levity there, but is also a super geek, really well qualified for this discussion. So I really recommend, like you, for folks to come in on Monday if they're going to want to do anything on Tuesday, because the travel could be tiring alone. Get landed and then get your tickets now right now, go on to ciderassociation.org and sign up for these ticket events. You don't want to wait. I imagine you're probably expecting to sell out at least, you know, a number of weeks ahead of time. So I know that the hotels are already some of the rooms that, like the king size room, you might not be able to get. You have to really get on this if you want to attend this event.
We do have a number of tasting panels that are integrated into the curriculum on Thursday and Friday. And these are always really popular events, but we've received a lot of feedback that they aren't intimate enough in the past. So we made the decision to limit them to only 75 people, which means that they will sell out. So if you want to participate in the still cider tasting or the iced cider tasting or the parallel tasting, any of these tasting events that are ticketed, the tickets are very affordable. The only reason we create the tickets is to manage who's attending and know when it's sold out. But if you want to get in those, you got to get in now because they're going to start to sell out. And the other reason to participate or to purchase your ticket early is that the Cider Share event that we kick off on Wednesday night is limited to 50 producers pouring their cider. So if you want to be one of those featured producers that pours your cider for your peers, you got to sign up really, really soon because in fact, it may even be sold out by the time this podcast airs.
And what Michelle's talking about there is on Wednesday, it starts at 4:00. It's like a 2-hour session, and it is held in this giant room where, I don't know if you're going to be doing it this year, but usually the ciders are spread out around the room in regions of the U.S. Are there going to be some international ciders there too, do you suspect?
Absolutely. I suspect that we'll have English and Canadian ciders again this year at Cider Share.
Great.
And maybe Spanish.
Spanish. Okay. For a little bit of the high pour. So that room is, it just gets flanked with everybody going in, and it's a great opportunity to showcase your cider, again, to do that networking with people and to have folks like myself, you know, different people are doing media and celebrating cider and writing and blogging to be able to have a bevy of ciders available. So if you haven't signed up for that, if this is something that you're an importer or you are a cider maker who's feeling, you know, it's easy to feel a little alone out there in the world, this is such a happy place to be at. And it's really well done. A nice big room. And again, kudos to Michelle and the team at the association for pulling off always an amazing conference. You did mention the CCP, but not everyone knows what the CCP is. So let's talk a little bit what that stands for and what the association is trying to do with that.
So most of you are likely familiar with the term sommelier and have probably heard of the sommelier certification program and the Master of Sommelier. You've probably heard of it most recently because they had a cheating controversy, but otherwise it's a well-respected, well-known program. And then Cicerone is the certification program in the beer world. And both in the beer world and in the wine world, once you receive these certifications, your clout, your understanding of you as an expert increase in your field. And so the cider community back in 2016 launched the Certified Cider Professional Program. And we've been running the entry-level certification, which is essentially what someone who's a server in a bar or restaurant that would be pouring cider would want to achieve. We've been running that for a couple years now, and we hit the 1,000 certified benchmark this year. So we're celebrating that huge benchmark. We're really excited about it. And now we're ready to launch the level 2. And both of these programs cover the same range of topics, just one more in depth than the other. So we're looking at questions about apples and questions about orcharding, questions about cider making, how to evaluate a cider, cider styles according to our style guidelines, food and cider, these and keeping and serving, which is a critical part of being a successful cider server. So those are the topics that we're covering. And the level one exam is an online test that you can take anywhere in the world. And it's 60 questions and you need 85% or better to pass. The level two exam will be not multiple choice, but short answers or matching or fill in the blanks, as well as some essay questions. And you'll have to evaluate citers and identify flaws. So it's definitely a step up in difficulty. And we suspect that not everyone will pass the first time around. We have a fairly high pass rate for level one, but that's because we've been offering workshops all over the country to make sure that people are prepared with the material that they need to pass. So I would say level two is going to be more difficult, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun as well. And studying for it will be a lot of fun too, because you'll get to go to a cider bar and pour yourself some flights and practice evaluating ciders. And that just sounds great to me. I wish all studying was like that.
Agreed. So the folks who took the initial course back in 2016 at the Portland CiderCon, was that was considered a level one course?
Yeah. So in 2016, that was a level one course, but the exam has changed drastically since that first offering, because our focus, we've really narrowed in that our niche audience is the service industry, as well as distributors and retailers, not cider makers. So even though cider makers get really excited about the CCP program and enjoy getting the certification, they're not really our target audience. So we've taken out a lot of the very technical questions that were a part of that first exam and reformulated it. And we did that with the help of our CCP working group, which includes Eric McCrory from Angry Orchard, Darlene Hayes from allintocider.com, Jenny Dorsey from Schilling Cider here in Portland, and Brian Rutzen from the Northmen in Chicago. And those four, including Eric West, who's no longer on the committee but was really important at the beginning, those five people have really helped shape the program to what it's become today. And it's so much stronger because of the hard work that they put into it. So I want to make sure that they get the credit they deserve.
I think this is a great idea. And like you said, you got to start doing your homework now. So maybe this is a good time while you're listening to this here chat with Michelle McGrath, the Executive Director of the United States Association of Cider Makers, that you take the opportunity to crack a bottle open and pour yourself a glass. You could start practicing right now. Also on that day, on Wednesday here, you have the TTB. So let's talk a little bit about their presence at CiderCon and what they're going to be offering.
We're really lucky that the agency that's in charge of taxing alcohol, the TTB, the federal agency, is excited to come to CiderCon every year and offer a workshop talking about labeling regulations and tax information. And especially in the last couple years, there's been a lot of change from year to year. And so it's especially good that they're willing to come and talk to folks about what are the regulations that they need to be paying attention to. And, you know, they're talking for a long time. They talk for 4 hours, but there's a lot of ground to cover because cider regulations, especially cider taxes, are incredibly complicated. And if you are thinking about opening a cidery or are planning to open one soon, or maybe even you just haven't had a chance to hire an accountant yet and you want to make sure that when you're interviewing an accountant, they know what they're talking about, because believe me, they don't all understand cider taxes. I guarantee that. This would be a good session to attend and brush up on. And we're so glad that TTB comes every year. They do it for free. And we just really appreciate their presence.
And not to mention, you'll be sitting next to other folks who are in the same shoes that you're in. And that person might become like a study partner or someone then you could network as you go further into the cider market. So I think there's a lot of benefit to not doing this alone, to see the people up front, get it directly from the organization that governs this. And also, again, I can't say it enough about CyberCon. It's all about networking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can think of the folks at the TTB session as your cohort.
Mm-hmm. Also, there is the Cider Institute of North America. Now, this is not part of the U.S. Association of Cider Makers. Who and what is the Cider Institute of North America?
They are our educational partners. They are working really hard to help solve a problem that we have here in the U.S., and that is a pretty severe lack of qualified cider makers that the industry is facing. So their niche, which is unique from the CCP program, is to train cider makers, to teach them all about the cider making process. And they are offering the first iteration of their level 2 program this week, I believe, or maybe it was last week, but it's happening now for the first time. And they've even got some business classes as part of that curriculum. So folks that have maybe heard about the Peter Mitchell curriculum, that's what the level 1 is based off of. I think Peter Mitchell, who's a cider maker from the UK, was heavily involved in creating the scene of curriculum. And it's got a very diverse board of cider makers from all over the country and a wonderful executive director named Bridget. So they are doing their boot shop or their boot camp workshop again this year. I think it's going to be slightly different from last year. We're still waiting to get the details from them. But I think for anybody looking for a technical overview of cider making, that boot camp is worth participating in.
Mm-hmm. And those three pieces, the Cider Institute of North America, that is a ticketed event. The CCP Level 2 is a ticketed event. But the in-depth look at the TTB, that is not a ticketed event. Is that correct? And that's all held on Wednesday morning before, like, it ends around 1 o'clock, most of them.
Yeah, the TTB program is a non-ticketed event, so folks can just come to that. It starts at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th.
So nice job in setting this up, because on Tuesday you arrive and you get to go on your cider tour, or you get to go to the Elements of Cider. And then Wednesday morning, because you're staying at the hotel because you made your early reservations, you're able to just roll out of bed, grab a coffee, get a little bit of food, and then go to these really informative workshops. And there's a little bit of something for everybody in each of these. And I would take it one step further with the CCP. I know that cider, the association's focus is for service industry, but if you're a super geek who just loves knowing everything about cider and you want to be an informed consumer when you go out to a cider bar or a cidery and just keep on upping your game because it's fun, then sign up for like a level 2 CCP. There's nothing wrong with that because it will only increase your knowledge. And the one thing about palms and cider is that it's just infinite. It's an art form. You never, ever stop learning. So this is another great opportunity to do that. Michelle, we have a little break for lunch, and then in the afternoon there's going to be the Palm Boots Society meeting, and
yeah,
that's for women in the cider trade, cider industry, to have a space to chit chat and meet up. Do you know anything more about that meeting that's going to be taking place at CiderCon itself? I mean, is it just another reason for us gals to, you know, crack a bottle and raise a glass, or is there going to be something else going on there, which isn't bad, I'll put it that way. But is there something else that you could lend light on?
Well, I definitely think there's going to be some space for networking. So I think they're trying to create that opportunity. But there will be a meeting portion as well. It's the first ever in-person meeting of the Palm Boots Society. So I'm really thrilled for them to be able to use CiderCon as a platform to launch that. I know that one of the speakers that they've confirmed is Krista Scruggs, and she's also a wine enthusiast, 40 under 40, out of Vermont. And she is actually a winemaker, but has been dabbling in cider and doing some really cool collaborations with Shaxberry. So we're really excited to have her at CiderCon. She's going to be part of the Palm Boots conversation, part of their panel on, I think it's on Friday morning, Diversity in the Workplace. And she's also going to be on the still cider tasting panel, because one of the ciders she produces is still cider, on Friday afternoon. So we're really thrilled to have Krista Scruggs coming. I'm not sure who the other speakers are that they've lined up, but I know that all the speakers they've lined up in the past have been folks with fascinating stories about their journey in cider, and are often extremely well qualified to be talking about the cider industry and cider making itself. So I'm really looking forward to the Palm Boots Society meeting, and I think it's a really good reason to make sure your flight gets in at least Wednesday morning.
I always feel so lucky to have arrived a little bit early to just be awake and alive. I mean, you spend so much time planning. You definitely you're spending money to get there. So why not arrive early enough to enjoy all of it? And there's a lot to enjoy. A couple of things moving on to Thursday and Friday, where it's just packed full of events, you know, workshops and things going on. There's lunch speakers. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. The lunch speaker on Thursday is an attorney by the name of Sereni. I'm sorry. He's going to be talking about a history of alcohol law. Can you, you know, let us know a little bit more about what that presentation will be about? Because that's going to be in the main center while folks are eating. There's typically like a large podium set up, and that's where Mark Sereni will be speaking. What is that particular presentation on?
Yeah, so Mark Sereni is a perennial regular at CiderCon, and he's also an attorney for the USACM. He's been helping us with some of our conversations with the TTB about cider regulations. And this year, we decided we wanted to give him a little bit more of a platform to talk about the history of alcohol law. And this has come from conversations with cider makers where it's clear that yesterday, December 5th was repeal day, and a lot of people were celebrating because it's exciting that prohibition is no longer in place because we can pursue our craft. But the way prohibition was ended has created vast issues, I'll say, for the alcohol sector. And so Mark's going to talk just a little bit about the history of alcohol law. I was talking to another organization about who was the first beer lobbyist, and they've actually got it pinpointed down to who the first beer lobbyist was. So there's some really fun and interesting information about the history of alcohol law that definitely, I mean, it's hard to imagine that something that happened in 1933 still impacts our industry, but the way prohibition was ended was with a constitutional amendment. So that's not going anywhere. And so a lot of the hurdles that we face as an industry are because of that history. And we just wanted to give people an opportunity to really understand what happened in the last century and a half, and why do we care today?
So that's going to take place in a large group. Like, everybody attending CiderCon gets to go to that presentation. It's held during lunches. The lunch is always fantastic. Backing up a little bit more on that morning of Thursday, it begins bright and early at 9 a.m., although for, you know, folks who are out in the orchard and farmers and, well, many people are working, hardworking, 9 a.m. isn't that early. But if you've been in Chicago and enjoying the food and the cider, you really have to pace yourself so you could not miss the opening remarks that happen on Thursday morning. And then the workshops kick off right at 10 a.m. or maybe 10:15 or so. And you have a couple of ticket events that begin that morning, one with Ellen Cavalli of Tilted Shed. She's going to be talking about the Wild Apple panel. That sounds really exciting. Do you have any more info on what Ellen might be speaking on?
She's going to be addressing specifically cultivating wild apples as part of your orchard program, and she will have a panel of cider makers / orchardists who do this and will be pouring ciders that are examples of cider made with wild apples. So we're really thrilled to have that as part of our heritage track, which most of the tasting events, but not all, are part of our heritage track. And that's a specialty track where we've made sure to create sessions that are relevant to folks who are using cider apples and maybe are orchardists themselves and are probably smaller cideries. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. We've got specialty sessions for large cideries and for modern cideries as well. But Ellen's is a great example of our heritage track.
And that cidery that Ellen is part of, Tilted Shed, is based up in the Sonoma County of California. So she brings that nice flair there and the history too that's going on in California. So all the, when you're looking at the actual schedule, there's a little apple and it's highlighted. Can we assume that anything that is in that little cube is a ticketed event? Am I correct on that, or am I misleading listeners?
If the cube is yellow, it's a ticketed event. If there's an apple icon, it's a heritage track event. There are heritage track events that are not ticketed, and there are ticketed events that are not on the heritage track.
Perfect. Now, simultaneously happening during the workshops, well, not always simultaneously, but it is taking place in the same building. It's all part of the conference, and that is the trade show where vendors are coming in. And I imagine you have probably the best overview of the vendors. And what is the USACM trying to do there with the trade show? What are some of the highlights?
Well, this year we're really excited to have grown the trade show from 80 to 100 vendors. So we'll have even more options for folks. But we have talked to a lot of cider makers like Guidon Call from Original Sin, who said he used to have to attend the Craft Brewers Conference every year because they had the trade show that would allow him to get access to the equipment that he needed for his cidery. But he doesn't have to do that anymore because the trade show at CiderCon has gotten so good. So we're really excited to provide an opportunity for cider makers to meet directly with vendors that are making the equipment, whether it's juice filtration equipment or barrels or decorations for your tasting room or canning lines. I mean, the sky's the limit of what you're going to find at the trade show. And we hear from our vendors every year that they really love coming to CiderCon. We have an extremely high retention rate. And it's sold out for this year and it sells out every year. So the trade show is really fun. And we're making it even more fun this year because one of our trade show committee members, the lovable Mike Beck from Uncle John's Cider, was really enthusiastic about having a lounge area. So there's going to be a lounge area with hopefully some games where people can hang out. And vendors and a couple select cider makers that applied to participate will be able to distribute samples of cider. And we'll also have our cider bar available as well. So the trade show is going to be a really fun place to hang out. We'll have our bookstore that we debuted last year in the trade show this year, and we're going to have some authors come and do some signings as part of that. So I'm really looking forward to the trade show this year. It's going to be really good.
And I see there's a happy hour in the trade show. So is that what you're talking about, the lounge and all that? Is that an additional scene that's happening, the happy hour, or is it kind of happy hour the whole time at the trade show?
Kind of, yeah. Well, we are hoping to bring in some cider cocktails for happy hour. That's our plan right now. And also researchers from around the country will be presenting posters in the trade show during happy hour. So it's just another reason to come hang out at the trade show.
And if I recall correctly, at the conference site, the trade show was down that elevator, escalator. Is it going to be in the same area as 2017, that location?
It is. It's going to be down below again, but it's going to be in a little bit bigger space so that we can make room for that lounge and the additional vendors.
Great. Yeah. I mean, these big hotel conference centers, they could just open the partition of the wall and voila, you have twice as much space. So that I think that spot is really great. And having been to the trade show at CiderCon each year, it's a nice place to walk up. Everybody wants to chit-chat with you. And like Gidon from Original Sin is saying, the equipment is typically right there, and you could take it for a spin, so to speak. All right, so we have the trade show. We have the speaker on Thursday. Let's talk about on Friday. What's happening besides just the workshops? I wanted to kind of go to like some of the main pieces here, beginning with USACM board elections. That takes place on Friday morning at 9 a.m. at the conference or CiderCon. What is that about? Is that something that everybody should go to?
Everybody is welcome to attend. The folks that vote are the cidery level memberships, the U.S.-based cidery level memberships. So that's how in our bylaws, how voting rights are designated. But everybody is welcome to attend and hear from the folks running. And it's, it's a little bit different every year based on the number of people that are interested in running and what region we hold the conference in. But, you know, we think we're going to have 3 seats open this year. So there should be a good swath of folks that are throwing their name into the hat. And we really encourage cideries to come and participate. We will have an at-large seat that's up for election this year. So that means that everybody at the cidery level should come and vote. We will have some regional seats as well, but that large seat is open to anybody in the country.
So that's the actual United States Association of Cider Maker Board. Are you able to let us know who is currently running for those new open seats, or is that something we have to wait till CiderCon to hear?
Well, nominations will open in the next 2 weeks, so we don't have those names yet. So this is a shout out for people to consider running. And if you have questions, please give me a call. I love talking to people about what it's like to be on the board of directors for the USACM. I'm incredibly lucky. Rhea, I've worked for many nonprofits and I've been a board member myself. And I've worked very closely with boards for a long time. And I've never come across a board as amazing as USACM. They are supportive. They are good listeners. They are team players. They are everything that you could ever possibly want out of a board. And it's a really fun group to be a part of. And I really hope that people who are interested in helping shape the U.S. cider industry and what USACM does to encourage that growth We'll consider running.
I think the best way to represent all of this association is to have folks who want to be on the board who are also from like a boutique cidery. Each one of those voices will really lend quite a bit. So if you're listening out there in Ciderville and this is something you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm not huge. Well, what better way than to get your voice and your needs than to join and have the opportunity even to like join something like this and become a board member on this association. You don't have to be really big. In fact, I imagine this board would really welcome somebody who isn't, and to have that sounding board there would be fantastic. Wouldn't you agree, Michelle?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're really lucky as far as the size of cideries go. We have a great diversity built in. Dan Wilson from Slyborough. In the past, we had Eleanor Leger from Eden. And before that, we had Charlotte Shelton from Albemarle. And then as far as small modern cideries go, we've got Swell Dog and Noble Cider. So we've got a little bit of every type of cidery model out there. And we absolutely encourage small boutique and or orchard-based cideries to participate so that we can make sure we're maintaining that diversity of cider model.
Excellent. Yeah. Way to go. And also at that election piece, there's regional elections too. This is a key piece. If you're not thinking about going on the main board, but you want to have a voice for your region and really, you know, be able to shout out to the folks that you want to have leading the charge for your region in the U.S., if you're Northeast or Southeast or Southwest, you want to go to that meeting. It's 9 a.m. on Friday morning, February 8th. And yeah. So moving on, that same afternoon, I see there's a speaker by the name of Michelle McGrath, which would be you, and you're going to be talking about the business meeting there. Is that something that you could lend us a little bit about what you're thinking about chit-chatting?
Yeah, it's just an opportunity for me to review our activities over the last year and to present our finances to the USACM membership. We really try to be as transparent as possible. And, you know, throughout the year, if anybody ever has any questions, those regional board members that Rhea was talking about, you can find their contact information on our website and you can reach out to them. And they are there to talk to you about USACM or maybe questions about cider making that you may have. They're really fantastic resources. But the business meeting is just a chance for me to talk with folks about what we've been up to. You know, I try to send out pretty regular email communications, but sometimes a face-to-face overview is really the best. And that since CiderCon is our annual membership meeting, it's really the best time to do it.
You don't want to miss this presentation with Michelle. She might sound like, you know, like she knows a little bit about cider, but you haven't seen anything yet. So make sure that you attend this presentation, because Michelle, you are worth meeting. It's great to have the person, the presence, and your knowledge is so vast. So definitely be there for the lunch. There's a little bit of pool. Lunch is being served. It's going to be good. And Michelle will be speaking on Friday at noon. And then moving on, Michelle, now each year there's always somebody kind of coming in from the international scene, and this year it's the Canadians. And the actual ending of the CiderCon ends with a grand tasting. It says Canada and final toast. So are there specific Canadian makers that are coming down?
There are, Rhea, and I failed you because I had a similar problem the last time we spoke about the speakers. I don't have the two Quebecois ice cider makers' names in front of me, unfortunately. But we will have C Cider from BC and County Cider are both participating, and then we'll have two Quebecois cider producers as well. And I'm glad you want to talk about this final session, because I think there's just a little bit of confusion for CiderCon newbies about how it works. So the grand tasting is an opportunity for all of our featured international cider makers to address the entire audience. And that can be rather challenging because everyone's so excited. CiderCon's over. They've had such a great time. But I think for everyone to make the most out of this experience, it will really be to taste the cider with reverence and, keep our voices down while they are talking. And then make sure that whatever cider you've brought with you in your suitcase, you have that ready to go for the final toast. This is something we don't put in official documentation. So I'm telling you now, bring your cider because there's a grand tasting at the end where everybody pours cider and celebrates another successful CiderCon.
I love it all, but this is really special. And the fact that you having the Canadians coming and being kind of like the honored guests, I really think is something, because when you say North America, you're talking about the U.S. and Canada. And there's a beautiful relationship there. And what they're doing up in Canada is super exciting, not to mention the fact that we owe a great deal to the Quebec makers, one in particular, who really made ice cider a thing and has brought it up to the scale that it is now. So that is going to be really something to attend. Very happy to see County Cider. County Ciders is like one of the oldest cideries in Canada. I actually had Jennifer Dean on the podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And she is the gal behind County Ciders these days. Her partner, many years. He tragically passed on, but she is holding that fort, and what a location up in the Prince Edward County of Ontario. Quite an amazing story there. So that's neat. I don't know too much about Sea Cider, but you know I will. I'll find out more.
Sea Cider won Best Cider in Cascadia, which is the region from British Columbia to Oregon, at the Portland International Cider Cup last year. They're heritage cider makers. And I do have the names of the Quebecois ice cider producers. So we've got Alan Demoy from Cidrerie du Minot. I don't speak French, folks. I apologize. Jodine Michel. And I'm probably butchering that name again, but we are thrilled to have these ice cider producers come and participate. So I think it's the first time we've had an ice cider tasting panel. We've had ice cider as part of panels, but never just ice cider alone. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy fun. And, you know, a good way to be able to practice your French is to go to, I think the Canadians are going to have like a little Canadian consult or something. They're planning a little extra thing that will be happening at CiderCon. So you go there, you raise a glass, and then you start practicing your pronunciation. You really, you know, be able to fine tune it. I highly recommend that. And to network with these folks, it's just a fantastic opportunity. Michelle, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be having another podcast episode and talking about navigating CiderCon, digging a little bit deeper, and then I'll be going over all these workshops coming out a little bit further to have folks attending CiderCon maybe while they're en route or a day or so two ahead to be prepared. You don't want to wait on the day of to say, oh, that's where I want to go. And oh, shucks, I wish I got that ticket beforehand. Or, you know, how do I get there? And which of all these amazing workshops you have offered here, which one should I go? You want to really plan for something like this because it is worthwhile. And it takes a little bit of pre-planning to take it all in because there's just so much. I mean, how long do you work on putting together CiderCon? Are you already planning for like 2020, 2021? Where are you with that?
We're actually already planning for 2022. So
there you go. See? All right. Well, this is wonderful. Is there anything else going on with the USACM that you could fill us in on that we haven't touched base here in terms of CiderCon or beyond?
Well, I think a good point to underline, Rhea, is that CiderCon is an opportunity to learn about the programming that we're doing throughout the year. So, for example, our cider style guide, which we will be releasing version 2.0 very soon in the next 2 weeks, probably, we will be then, our style guide is part of our broader cider lexicon program. And that's one of the sessions that we have at CiderCon is to start talking about some of these tricky things when it comes to describing a cider. And the New York Cider Association has really been doing some groundbreaking work when it comes to cider lexicons. And they're going to be doing a sensory workshop at CiderCon to talk about that work. So I encourage people to attend that session if that's something, if you're interested in the conversation around perceived sweetness and the impact that tannin and acid can have on the how dry a cider tastes, then I definitely recommend attending their session. We also will have our government affairs track for the first time. We've really been stepping up our work in the advocacy realm. We're happy to incorporate that into the CiderCon educational materials. And then, CCP. So between workshops on marketing, which is a big part of what USACM does, and advocacy, and the CIDR lexicon, and CCP, you really get a taste of what USACM is all about.
I'm excited for CIDRCon. I'm going to have the opportunity to attend once again, and I know there's a lot of buzz in the air, and it's just a great opportunity. I want to thank you, as always, for filling us in, making this happen, and make sure that you seek Michelle out, if anything, other than just to thank her for all the work that she's doing. That's really a nice thing to do. And I want to thank you once again for all the work that you're doing and helping CIDR continue to keep on going up, not only in the U.S., but really the work that you do reaches much broader than just this little border of our own country.
Well, thank you, Rhea. And I want to take this opportunity to thank our members, because none of the work that we do would be possible without the support of our members. So thank you for renewing your membership every year and making sure that we can continue to be a voice for the industry, pushing the U.S. market forward.
That was Michelle McGrath, the Executive Director of the United States Association of Cider Makers. There are show notes to this here episode with some of the main details and links that she was talking about, especially if you want to become a member or renew your membership to the USACM, to sign up as a volunteer at CIDRCon, or to bring your cider at the Cider Share happening on a Wednesday, which would be February 6. Find that and more at ciderchat.com. As always, a big tip of the glass to the fine people who are patrons of this here podcast via the Cider Chat Patreon page. You too can become a patron. Just Google a Cider Chat Patreon. That's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Thank you for listening. This is Rhea Windcaller, signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up. Yeehaw!